difficulty of 10. And Nunes is an absolute magician. He set up.
Hello and welcome to the, well, this week's edition of Troy Nunes' Absolute Podcast. If you were on the live stream, you saw me gesturing wildly because that's what I do on my other podcast and got confused. With you, as always, Steve Haller here. joining me, everybody's back, Andy Pregler, Christian DeGuzman. What's going on this week, guys?
Your wild gestures include yeeting a bucket of sunflower seeds onto a baseball field.
Oh, God. That's where we've come to at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, the best tweet I saw about that most baseball fights are grown men politely pushing each other and doing fake wrestling moves. This was not that.
No, definitely not.
No, most of the actual baseball fights look like the Rudy Giuliani video, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, we are extremely online on today's edition of the show. Yeah. But this baseball fight was a real baseball fight, and I'm kind of here for it. I mean, it's kind of funny that grown men are getting this upset about baseballs being thrown inside, but here we are. This is 2022. Everything's just kind of weird. We're here for it. We're not here for it.
I still love, I don't know if you guys caught a couple, might have been a month ago, like as the playoffs were starting, the mic'd up hockey fights showed up again. That is the most hilarious thing, because you have grown men beating the hell out of each other while speaking the most politely they possibly could. it's great. Just look it up.
As much as I love hockey fights, at the end of the day, they're really dumb, especially in the regular season. Because once you reach the playoffs, no one's fighting.
Oh, no. No. And, you know, when they you're only
fighting if it's fourth line versus fourth line in the last 15 seconds of the game.
Right. Yes. And you've got, you know, guys in gloves that somehow, for some reason, take their helmets off. And then, you know, they have protective headgear. Keep it on and don't get punched in the head. Why would you take... I don't know. I don't get it.
On skates.
Yes.
It's almost like when a football player tries to punch another football player in the face when they're wearing a football helmet.
I remember seeing an incident like that. 2014 Villanova.
Oh, yeah. It all comes back to that game, doesn't it?
People forget that game started with Terrell Hunt trying to punch a guy in the second quarter.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Which means we spent three quarters of that game with Austin Wilson at quarterback.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. So that's where we're starting this podcast. That's how we're bringing this back to Syracuse, is Austin Wilson at QB. All right.
We got to have at some point in time the bingo game of Syracuse quarterback, Syracuse backup quarterbacks in our lifetimes, because there have been some, and it's not, and the reason I say that there have been some names, it's not just the, backup quarterbacks in college mean, you know, they're people that no one remembers except for the local fan base, except that almost all of them for Syracuse in the last 15 to 20 years have some either ridiculous story or lore attached to them, or were highly recruited and just flamed out at Syracuse. Syracuse does not have a normal backup situation, or if we do have a normal backup situation, they all play because nobody can stay healthy.
This is also a, it's not like this is a modern thing. Like, this goes back to anything post-McNabb. It has turned in, legit, the entirety of the 2000s, that's been the case. Back from the Perry Patterson days. Like, you have Joe Fields, who turned into an awesome safety, but was highly recruited as a quarterback. And
because people think the Syracuse quarterback situation for the modern fan, and by modern fan I mean like the last 15 years, then people think the Syracuse quarterback situation is Greg Paulus, and like, oh, it possibly couldn't get wilder than that, and Syracuse football was like, hold my beer.
Right. You had the Andrew Robinson era.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. There were things that happened. Yeah, I mean, Andrew Robinson to Mike Williams was a thing.
Steve is speaking as a grizzled war veteran right now.
I've got the Syracuse 1,000-yard stare going on here.
Next time Steve goes camping with Seabass, the horror story is not going to be your typical horror story that you tell at a campfire. It's going to be what happened during the 2007 Syracuse football season when quarterback.
Let me tell you about the Greg Robinson era. That'll scare anybody. Oh boy, we're already off the rails. I'm glad.
I was gonna say. I mean this kind of seriously. I think the only two normal quarterback progressions that we have had at Syracuse are Tommy DeVito and Ryan Nassib, with two drastically different results.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. In recent times, I think those are your two most standard progressions that we've seen.
Like you came in recruited knowing that you were going to start as the backup and then work your way into starting. You eventually became a starter, and after 3 years on campus, you left. The difference is that one left as an NFL draft pick, and the other, we're going to see him this year playing in the Big Ten. So, you know, normal things.
So we're throwing it out there. From McNabb to Nassib, because most people remember what happened from Nassib to present. McNabb to Nassib, you had Madi Williams. You had the aforementioned Troy Nunes. RJ Anderson, Perry Patterson, Andrew Robinson, Cam Dantley, Greg Paulus, Ryan Nassib. That's a progression. My. Also, that is 10 years of that many quarterbacks.
It's truly a carousel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a revolving door.
Yeah. My favorite part also is that when you go post-Nassib, and then when you go to Terrell Hunt, and then in 2015, when Terrell Hunt comes back after getting injured in 2014, he gets injured in the second quarter in 2015. And no, you don't go to the three sophomores on your roster. You go straight to the true freshman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun. Ugh. I can't help but laugh.
At a time where Steve was probably thinking, you know what? If I stepped in right now and played on this offensive line, I could probably do better than some of these guys.
In that era, I was coming. I was probably a little, you know, hot in the head coming off of actually playing, but I had no eligible player or eligible eligibility exactly. left. So I was good. Like mentally, I was in a good spot.
That man, yeah, we're gonna. I'm gonna figure out how we're gonna do this, but we're gonna play Syracuse backup quarterback bingo this offseason. I'm not sure how, but we're gonna figure it out, and it's gonna be really fun. That's my task for an episode this offseason.
So what's the recruiting card game online, Steve, that you've been
Envelopes of Cash?
Yeah, Envelopes for Cash. Yeah, so you replace all the recruit names with just Syracuse back and quarterbacks in the 21st century.
There we go. Calling Andy Schwartz. We will be in touch.
A Syracuse mod instead of like, you know, fake names. No, it's Syracuse backup quarterbacks in the 21st century. Bingo. God. Perfect.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
That'll do it. Wow. Yeah. There is no, well, we had a loose agenda for this episode and now it's just completely gone. But let's stick with football then and let's talk about recruits who are actually making it to campus. There have been some recruits this week, some as literally as recently as like 20 minutes ago, maybe more than 20 minutes ago.
That's when you saw it, but it was like a couple hours ago.
Yeah, Christian, let's talk about...
Don't leave your phone in Albany, Andy.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that is a story for another day. Actually, no, it's for here right now. Thank you, Amtrak. However, my train got a nice... My phone got a nice scenic view of upstate New York. I went to Hudson and stopped. My train kept going. With my phone. So, you know, good times. Christian, who is doing the reverse commute and coming down to Syracuse? Talk to us about the recruits that Syracuse has gotten this week, starting with the one from today.
Well, the one from today is a running back, because as we've learned, you can never have enough depth at any position, especially when your running back is Sean Tucker and your next running back in line is question mark, question mark, question mark. So the the Syracuse Orange have picked up another running back recruit in Muwafaq Parkman. I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to pronounce that first name correctly. But he is another running back. I haven't seen too much on tape. It's good that we're getting recruits, and it's I believe he's another in-state recruit, if I'm...
No, he's a Jersey kid.
He's a Jersey kid, yeah, yep. Just like LaQuinn Allen was like in this past recruiting cycle.
Yep. All your Jersey running backs belong to us.
All your Jersey players, just in general, really do belong to us. Syracuse is building a nice Jersey pipeline. Suck it, Rutgers.
Worked back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Because really, let's be honest, any Jersey recruit that you steal from Rutgers is a win. And we'll get to it in a bit after we talk about the other guys that have joined in. But it's good that Syracuse is recruiting people.
Yeah, and that Jersey, you know, we have a Jersey host on the podcast when they're immediately going straight to suck at Rutgers. other than that, we also had Jaleel Smith, who is a edge prospect from Brooklyn, I believe.
Brooklyn, yep, yes.
Abraham Lincoln. My brain is processing. I'm like, I know I wrote this. adding to that, hand down outside linebacker or, five or seven technique pool that we have going. And then Zaire Moultrie Goddard. There we go. Zion Moultrie Goddard. I was telling Andy pre-pod, we've gone immediately for the all-name team this weekend. Apparently, it's imperceivable that we could go two for three on the all-name team. But another instinct.
Tyler Cady, the Syracuse football side, is going to have his name cut out for him, his work cut out for him, writing the pronunciation guide for these guys.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good one. Moultrie Goddard's a 3-star prospect and comes to us from, I don't even know, Iona Prep. So there we go. 3 additions to the class brings us up to number 70, I believe. We're still a little light in the 23 class, but it seems to be starting to shape out.
I think that's the big talking point, is that with the additions that were made this week alone, which is great. You made 3 signings this week. The only problem is that they were signings 4, 5, and 6 in the class of 2023, which isn't exactly the beefiest of classes. Yes, I understand that, you know, you just had some 2 really big classes in 21 and 22, but I think you'd like to see a bit more momentum in the class.
Yeah. Would this maybe be a bit of a come down off of that sixth year thing? Because we had more than most take advantage of the extra COVID year. We lost a gap in there with a bunch of transfers out. So is it going to be like, are we going to need 23 as a recovery year, or are we going to kind of rue 23 as kind of being stuck in the middle? Is I guess where we're going to see this come out.
It's, yeah, tough.
I mean, I'm just taking a look right now. This actually, you guys kind of got me this conversation. I was like, let's go check out the 24/7 board. And again, it's always kind of tough to tell with these things because 24/7 does a great job of basically keeping track of every single player that Syracuse has been in contact with in any way, shape, or form. And you cast a wide net, especially when you're the Orange. So, for example, their number one choice is the number 4 quarterback. The number 4 quarterback, number 12 overall prospect, Dante Moore out of Detroit. We're not going to get him, but he would be the number 1 recruit.
Come on, never say never.
Right. But it's there are those levels of targets that we're still going after. Yeah. But when you take a look at the guys that are somewhat interested in Syracuse, and there seems to be some reciprocity here. Jaden Bass, who is an unranked 6'5 offensive tackle out of Springfield, Massachusetts, is somewhat interested in the Orange. They lost out on Zion Fowler, who was a 6'1 athlete out of New Jersey to Pitt. They're looking at Eric King, who is a 6'3, 300-pound interior lineman from Jersey City.
And I think he and DeAndre Duffus are taking an official, either they took an official this weekend or they're taking one upcoming. I'm mentally trying to parse my former reads of Stephen Bailey tweets. Go follow him.
Yeah.
Always good for information. But I know there's two big men coming to campus, and those are the two, and I can't remember when.
Yeah, Duffus is the other one. He is a fringe four-star recruit. He's right on that 3-4-star line, but he's 300 pounds, and I think he's 6'5", 6'4", 330. Fringe 3-4 starter, 3-4 star player out of Florida. So yeah, like everybody else, it's kind of cool. Bailey actually just has a thing that Kansas wide receiver Bryce Cohoon just visited and is looking at Syracuse and seems interested. But
so the thing that from Kevin earlier this week, 6 in total: Ike Daniels, Eric King, Nikhil Bertrand, and Jaden Bass. All those guys on offensive line, except for Daniels, who's a running back, and then wide receivers Josh Richards and the aforementioned Cahoon are all taking visits this week. So it's not like Syracuse isn't trying, for lack of a better word.
The other crazy thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if this year goes as anticipated with what the new OC and quarterback coach are selling. Jason Beck may be able to. As dumb as it sounds, someone like a Dante Moore, if Beck can turn around Garrett Schrader, I could see a higher ranked prospect saying, you know what, this guy knows what he's doing. At present, I mean, I guess the track record is there, but the track record in this system isn't there. So we'll see what happens. But I think they're shooting their shot on some of these, but also, you know, depending on how the new staff does, like, look at what's already happening with the offensive line. You're seeing better recruits wanting to visit. You're seeing more interest in it just with the presence of Mike Schmidt. If the same thing happens with Ane and Beck, then, you know, that could help the skill positions as well. Running back, I'm not worried about because, well, apparently we can just bring them in.
Yeah, and I think
if Ane and Beck do their job, you're not sure that the recruits that are bringing in are going to be tight ends who actually can throw the ball.
Mm, true. So we need quarterbacks and tight ends that can throw. Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the more interesting thing is that if you look at all these names, like, it's Steve, to your point, I think that they're really prioritizing the offensive line in this year's class, which makes sense considering where everybody's kind of where the roster construction is at and where they need to build depth. And in that regard, it is kind of a weird situation where we've talked about this, and John, you know, may he enjoy his perpetual Syracuse retirement.
Always about to say.
Yeah, I know, right?
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure he's listening to and like, what the hell are these idiots doing?
Yeah, may he enjoy his retirement in peace. The general vibe with Syracuse recruiting has been an inability to kind of keep a roster pipeline going. So like what we talked about with the quarterbacks at the top of the show, the pipeline has always been screwy at quarterback for Syracuse. And it's fine when there's one or two positions that are like that, but when your entire roster doesn't really have a pipeline, it starts to create long-term issues. And I think that that's probably the biggest red flag with the Syracuse football program, is outside of getting these high-impact freshmen to come in and start right away, it's been a little bit trickier for them to develop a true, okay, sit 2 years, start 2 years kind of consistent churn going on the roster. Right. One of the places where they have done that, though, and Steve, I think you can kind of talk about this a little bit, is the offensive line. And obviously there has been some significant improvement over the last couple of years, but all things
considered,
and then
everybody gets hurt.
Right. I was going to say, let's take away the injury side of this, but like on paper, this year's line seems to be a great mix of veterans who have all had some spot starts here and there, but for the most part got to get their feet wet in intermediate action. You know, they play their four games before the redshirt status gets kicked in.
Christian, we're talking Big Man Week 2.0. I'm very excited. 2 weeks in a row.
I just saw Steven Stamkos really unbelievably easy to dissect the Colorado defense with too much ease, so I'll let you take this.
16 offensive line on the roster. We currently have a construction that includes redshirt senior Darius Tisdale, redshirt senior Dakota Davis. So they're gone. You have Vetterello, who's a redshirt junior, who's eligible to go. You have Chris Bleich and Will Frumi, who are redshirt juniors, who are also eligible to leave. And then Matthew Bergeron, who is a true junior, who is most likely gone. Ergo, I totally get why they're prioritizing offensive line in this 23 class. There's some depth behind them, but it's a weird, weird situation. We seem to be running in ebbs and flows with this. If we can get someone like a Bleich or a Frumi to hang around, that'd be great. I'm assuming Tisdale, Davis, and Bergeron are like out of here.
If somehow Tisdale and Davis find a way to stick around, that's impressive.
That would be. come back for a seventh year. It's fine. We have them, you know. Just, you know, it's, you're getting the better part of a decade. I believe the Tommy Boy quote was, they're called doctors. At this point, I think both of them could have a doctorate, seeing, you know, if they've been here long enough. That said, as football players, there's no chance in hell just from a timing constraint, because at D3, I had a hard enough time as a biology major. it's a weird... Roster construction is a fickle mistress. There is there's no good way to, especially with the transfer portal, you bring in whatever you can, and then you're now in the modern time, in our non-fungible transfer portal, we are going to have to try and find a way to bring people in, or, you know that they're going to leave. Like, there's no
one. Good job sneaking the title of the show into the thing. Just, you did the movie thing. Good for you. But two, yeah, I think it is.
But that's the roll credits moment.
Yeah, thank you all for tuning in and listening to this edition of Joining Us an Absolute Podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe.
We lost half our listenership because we've only talked football and not basketball at all yet. So
we're making you eat your goddamn vegetables, please. Vegetables are good for you. You know what else is good for you, though? And it is just kind of understanding that roster construction is never going to be there. Famously, Ohio State let Joe Burrow go because they were too deep at quarterback. Like,
right.
These things happen. They're different issues at different programs because, you know, some places just recruit too well, and other places like Syracuse miss on certain recruits or certain players. So, you know, it's not exactly apples to apples, but there are some, you know, instances that show that, especially nowadays, there's never going to be a perfect roster. However, what you should do is find ways to make sure that you don't end up in a situation where you need to find a starter in the transfer portal in order to immediately fill a key position. Cough, cough, looking at a quarterback situation. Like this year, where luckily Garrett Schrader was able to stay healthy and was able to show something last year. But if Schrader had gotten seriously injured or had flamed out, Syracuse would be looking at getting a starting quarterback in the transfer portal. Because
even though some fans would probably argue that he still flamed out,
I do think that there's, you know, this is kind of the perpetual middle ground that we live in as Syracuse fans, is that, sure, we'd like to upgrade at every starting position, except for running back, and maybe cornerback. But other than that, oh yeah, linebacker too, we're stacked now. That's weird.
It's linebacker this year. Next year,
not so much.
Ballgame. Because again, if we go through the roster construction thing, you have Mikel Jones, Jr. I'm not going to lie, that means he's eligible to go.
Well, no, he was not just eligible to go. He was eligible to go last year.
Right.
And I said at the beginning
He's a junior.
Yeah. I said that at the end of last... I said that at the beginning of the season last year as well. And people were like... I think you two were like, oh, don't remind me. And then it became abundantly clear that he actually might go.
Right. Yeah, and the fact that he's back is, you know, quite the godsend. But Marlo Wax, again, similarly, he's listed as a sophomore... But this is his third year. right?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, he's a COVID sophomore.
Same thing with Stephon Thompson.
Oh god.
And then you have Anwar Sparrow, Mekhi Mason, Leon Lowry, Malik Matthew, Ryan Dolan, Austin Roone, John O'Connor, Derek McDonald.
Maybe Steve Linton.
Steve Linton is a yes somewhere. The defensive line, I don't even know what we're doing there at present. There's a lot of bodies.
Tony White's going to take some snaps there.
We have one fullback on the roster, and that's Rhino, who is a fullback by name only. He's a tight end and a fullback and a offensive lineman and a defensive lineman.
He's a sixth offensive lineman.
Yeah. Linton, Josh Huff, Chase Simmons, Kevin Darton, Jadeus Gear.
Rhino is the offensive lineman that you don't need to tell the official that he's checking in as an eligible receiver.
It's like, oh, he's on the field. Okay, he's fine. He's an offensive lineman wearing number 5. I think we're gonna understand that he's eligible. Pat Alberga, Dennis Jacquez, Ahmad Massoud moved over to D-line as well. So Josh Huff and him have augmented the D-line. And then Lockett, Okechukwu, Knowlton, Elijah Wright, Elijah Funtis Kundiff is all we have for D-line, too. So, yeah. We've got roster construction things happening.
I'm not going to lie. I knew that this was a thing, but I'm trying to focus on the here and the now, be more present in my life. That is terrifying. That's going to freak me out all season long. I'm going to be like...
it's exactly like the modern day problem. What do you want to have crippling anxiety about? The here and now or the future?
Right.
Well,
in Syracuse's case, unfortunately, it's porque no las dos.
Exactly. it's funny because if you look at the DBs, we have, 75 DBs on the roster, but you have Deuce and Garrett that are guaranteed your starters. You have Jihad Carter. You have a ton of guys that have gotten time in Jason Simmons, Neil Nunn, Amon Greenwood, Rob Hanna, Braylon Oliver is the transfer. Like Eric Coley, I forget, came back for his, I believe it's his 6th year too.
Yeah,
he's just so it's there. There's a lot of experience back there, but who knows what's going to happen?
I think I kind of want to ask this question. So for the last 2 years, we have continuously said that this is a young team, that the mistakes and the variance that came with this team were to be expected because it's a young team.
Yeah,
hearing all like this is no longer a young team. This is a veteran team by college football standards.
As dumb as it sounds, by eligibility, it's still a very young team.
I guess, because the COVID eligibility stuff.
There's so many redshirt freshmen on this roster, it's not even funny.
But they've all been on campus for like 2.5 to 3 years.
Yeah, they're all third-year redshirt freshmen.
Just absolutely wild.
Mm-hmm.
What years?
I think that's going to be the weird thing, though, is that like, so my question to you then, and Christian, we'll start with you, is just how much rope are you going to give this team for quote unquote young mistakes or young team, whatever? Because we know the schedule's difficult. We've covered that every show from here to Timbuktu. That being said, there's a level of execution that I think we have to start expecting out of this team. And it's kind of weird to have those expectations, is it not?
Yes, but then again, you brought up the gaping elephant in the room, which is the schedule. And it's the big reason why I know a lot of people want to hammer the over on a 4.5 or 3.5 for the win total. I'm not as confident just because of the schedule and how brutal it is. And yes, this is a team that has been guys that have been around for a while. The matter of fact is that the teams that they're playing, the guys that they have been around longer.
Yeah.
So
I'm the eternal optimist. I would hammer the over on a 4.5, but I still don't think I would hammer an over anything above that. I don't know if they're getting to a bowl. I would like to think they are, but Yeah, it's a weird ass situation right now where we have one of the most talented teams we've seen in a long time, and we just have a murderer's row coming at us.
And then, especially again, when you think experience wise, like, yeah, these guys have experience, but not as much as experience that the other schools have. And then where those schools that Syracuse plays, where they lack in experience, they make up in raw natural talent.
Oh, for the record, 36 redshirt freshmen.
Oh, wonderful. That's
just explicitly redshirt freshmen. Our quarterbacks, Justin Lampson, Dan Vellari, Jacobian Morgan, and Luke McPhail, are all redshirt freshmen.
Oh, wonderful.
How? I don't know, but they are.
Well, remember, with an A in back, Quint Allen is going to be a quarterback as well, so.
Right. This is true.
We're going to have, like, the 30-year-old quarterback by the time that this is all said and done.
Yeah, Dan Vellari is going to be the guy sitting there with gray hairs, like, in his beard. Kind of like mine, as you can see on the live stream. just being like, all right, I'm still here.
Is he the emergency backup quarterback?
It's funny because I don't think this roster doesn't actually have the Florida transfer on it either.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah, that was the thing that happened this summer.
Right. We also got a random Florida transfer that is like, okay, sure, sounds great. I'll take another quarterback who, with the Lampson injury, probably steps into that number two spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Like, sorry to, you know, the two guys I just mentioned, Jacobian and Vellari. It's like, he just on name and talent, like, or pedigree alone, from our mind, again, if anybody on the team is listening to this, we haven't seen shit. So we're just going off of what we can read. But yeah, I mean, from our standpoint, it really kind of, like, he's the number two at this point without Lampson. Because the only thing we saw was Lampson, and he looked good. So that's kind of where we have to slot him, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of this year is also going to be remembering, oh, guess what? This team should have Justin Lampson as the two.
Right.
Yeah. And all I can say is that we don't know that he's out for the year, but we're pretty sure he's out for the year. It's the weirdest injury that has yet to be confirmed, and there's no need for them to confirm it until Stephen Bailey is allowed his 10 minutes of football filming practice, and then he can tell us whether or not he's actually injured for the season.
And then I can spend an hour analyzing the 30-second clip.
Exactly. 100%. We're about at halftime. We're actually a little bit over halftime. So I just want to shout out our sponsor, Home Field Apparel, maker of the country's finest vintage t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, joggers. They just make everything that's really comfy and has really cool vintage logos on it. They're in the middle of releasing Big New Saturday, which is when every Saturday a new school gets Home Field Apparel branded merchandise. This upcoming week is going to be Nebraska. They just launched their Washington State collection. So even if you're not a Syracuse fan, you're a fan of some other school that does athletics, Homefield probably has a shirt for you. Also, if you're like me and you just like sometimes want a really comfortable shirt that has a not Syracuse logo on it, but has something cool on it, they have a lot of those shirts. Lots of fun mascots, lots of fun vintage logos, lots of script logos. Looking at you, Syracuse, release more script logos. That way Homefield can put them on t-shirts and I can wear them. So if you would like to do that,
Homefield Waldo? Homefield Orange Waldo.
Paging Homefield brand apparel. We have given you your next great idea. head to Homefield Apparel, use promo code Nunes, NUNES, for 10% off your first order of Homefield Apparel. Gentlemen, it is time for us to talk basketball. Because, you know, that is a thing that some fans say that they like more than football. Don't know why. but there was men's basketball news this week. Do you want to start with the players that are on campus or the players that used to be on campus and now play together as a not campus team? That's sort of a campus team.
Well, first things first, I'd like to shout out the aforementioned retired in peace, John Cacillo, for the fact that this podcast still is a football first podcast somehow. We added three new hosts and still ended up a football first podcast.
Forever and ever. That's the rule.
Yeah. You apparently, if you host this, you have to be football first. That said, I'd say we dive into the ones coming to campus or on campus.
Cool. Let's talk about the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Syracuse will be playing the Illinois Fighting Illini, with the winner getting the rights to use the tangerine emoji. Illinois will be hosting Syracuse. The Orange have played Illinois three previous times and has a 1-2 record.
The winner gets to finally claim Tommy DeVito as their own.
Too soon, man. Tommy, too soon.
By the time this game takes place, I think Tommy DeVito's season will actually be completed, which is kind of sad. But
DeVito's going to have those half and half scarves, but it's Syracuse, Illinois.
But it's actually going to just be the same colors. And yeah, exactly. You can't actually tell where each half is. Mm-hmm. It's just a scarf. It's just a blue and orange scarf.
Yep.
But the Illinois Illini finished last year 23-10, very good record. They lost in the NCAA second round. And you might recognize one of the players on next year's team. Remember that really big guy from Baylor, the really big lanky white guy that was a pain in the ass for everybody who played Baylor? Yeah, he's on Illinois now. So a Syracuse team that does not have a very strong front court is going to be challenged immediately by one of the country's best front court players. What could possibly go wrong? Gentlemen, the basketball schedule continues to come together. The Orange have definitively taken a step back this year with their scheduling as compared to last year. And the games that have been added in the new JMA Dome and that will be played in neutral sites are significantly easier than last year. Do you think somebody learned their lesson? Airs deeply at James Arthur Boeheim.
The answer is no, because look what's coming up next year.
Oh, no.
Maui Invitational.
I forgot about the Maui invite.
Yeah.
Let that simmer for a second.
Yeah. I was going to say the Maui Invitational this year is not Syracuse, but yes, next year, 2023, is the Maui invite. And that is I forgot how stacked that field is.
Would you like me to remind you?
I would like you to remind me while I look up Syracuse's actual 2022 schedule.
So, Gonzaga, Kansas, Marquette, Purdue, Tennessee, UCLA, Chaminade, and Syracuse.
So Chaminade might be a W, and beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah, but knowing the Maui Invitational, Chaminade's getting Gonzaga or Kansas.
Oh yeah, we're on the Chaminade line with that with that lineup. Like, there's no two ways about that.
Oh, that's a depressing fact.
As a reminder, the six home and homes that Syracuse has on the basketball schedule are BC, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. They're home against North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, NC State. On the road against Florida State, Miami, Clemson, Louisville. They are in the Empire Classic, which includes Temple, Richmond, and St. John's. They're hosting Bryant.
Who would have thought that Richmond would be the favorite in that series?
That's a weird field. And Georgetown is also on the schedule, expected to be on the schedule as well. I think that's been confirmed. So, I will say this. I think that this year's team has a better shot of getting above 500 just by nature of the schedule being slightly easier. Though that all being said, that Big Ten ACC matchup is not kind at all. And it's probably going to be a loss. That's what I got.
Yeah, cool.
Neat. Awesome. We should probably talk about the guys who just left Syracuse before we talk about to the guys who left Syracuse a long time ago.
Yes, I was going to say, for those who have been holding out hope that Buddy Boeheim and Cole Swider might appear on the TBT roster for Boeheim's
Army. I would like
to
meet you. What kind of insane person are you?
I mean, they were the people who did not think that either Buddy or Cole were good enough to really get NBA looks, which, you know, that's not the craziest idea in the world. I think that, although what they did not take into effect was that this is a historically weak NBA draft class, and everybody's basically a wild card. Cole Swider signed with the Lakers after getting multiple workouts with them, so they really liked Cole, what he showed off in his private workouts with the Lakers, so good for him. And both Buddy and Jimmy have signed on with the Detroit Pistons. However, Buddy signed on with a two-way contract, and Jimmy got a summer league invite with the Pistons. So for those who might also forget, Troy Weaver, former Syracuse basketball staffer, is the general manager of the Detroit Pistons. Just want to make sure everybody remembers that part of the deal.
You know, just throw that out there.
Only the guy who told Jim Boeheim, hey, you see that guy in Baltimore? We should bring him to Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know. Listen, I'm happy for both of them. I think Buddy, if he can gain some athleticism, which I know is hard to do, but not unheard of, he could probably be an interesting 3-and-D option for a Pistons team that's not looking to contend next year. See what happens there. And remember that Wes Johnson was a really good Syracuse player, but also stuck around in the NBA for like 15 years. So it's always kind of hard to tell who kind of makes the leap and has a game that will actually transfer to the next level. Because the NBA game does tend to change much more quickly than the college game does.
Yeah, you're into the NBA thing, which at which point I just check out and don't understand what's happening. So
it's okay. My team that I decided to jump on the bandwagon for is about to completely implode after 2 years. So, you know, things are fine in Brooklyn.
Yeah, about things that.
Go back to Jersey, yeah. Please.
No, I can walk to the arena. It's really convenient for me.
Yep.
Syracuse ruined me because it gave me the expectation that I can walk to high-end, high-energy sporting events, and that's just the norm. Like, fundamentally ruined that that's actually not how life works, and I hate it.
He said high-energy sporting events. You know how he didn't live through the Robinson era?
That is true. I did enjoy Syracuse football games. They were a lot of fun. Except for the 13-9 Rutgers game and the Villanova game. Except for those two games.
Those were
the
bad.
The Toledo game, while bad, was actually kind of fun and crazy. So, you know, I'll give that one a pass.
Also, you've never really truly experienced a sporting fan adventure like walking from the Mount to the Syracuse soccer stadium.
It's really funny, though, because the Mount, you are halfway there.
Yeah.
You are literally halfway to the soccer stadium from main campus. It's just the route is a little bit indirect.
Yeah.
Speaking of former players who I used to see on the Mount, let's talk about Boeheim's Army. So Boeheim's Army, for those that do not remember, is the alumni Syracuse basketball team that participates in the TBT, otherwise known as the basketball tournament. Winning team gets $1 million. Last year, Boeheim's Army won the whole TBT thanks to some non-Syracuse players and Sugar Daddy Adam Weissman coming through with bringing in some big names for the team. This year's roster is going to be DJ Kennedy, DeAndre Kane, Kyle
Wilcher,
D-Bossed, Tyler Ennis, Rakeem Christmas, CJ Fair, Andrew Wright, Marek Dolezal, which is fun, interesting. Their matchups have been revealed, and Syracuse is going to be hosting, so if you're in the Syracuse area, you should go to these games. Should be fun. Meanwhile, the rest of the New York bracket, Syracuse will open up against India Rising, new to TBT, so we don't really know a whole lot about them. but in the Syracuse region includes the number 2 seed Blue Collar U, which is Buffalo alumni. Their team is surprisingly stacked.
That is so true.
It is a bunch of like former NBA guys that all went to Buffalo at different times. I think that actually might be the team to beat in the region. Brown and White is the number 5 seed. They are a bunch of St. Bonaventure alumni.
I was just going to say, is that Bonnie's?
Yeah. And so
what gave it away?
Well, I was going to say, here's the thing. This bracket is specifically set up so that if Syracuse wins and Brown and White wins, they would match up in the round of 32. The winner of that would presumably face Blue Collar U, and you basically have the New York matchups of Syracuse versus Bonaventure versus Buffalo, which is what everybody wants every year anyways.
Not if Steve's second favorite team in the region, Friday Beers, has anything to say about it.
Absolutely. Still have no idea who they are, but just on name alone.
They're the former Armored Athlete team, if you remember Armored Athlete.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so yep. They just changed their name to Friday Beers.
Seems like an upside grade. I don't know.
I just really hope... You know what? I'm okay with it. Beer is good.
I just looked up the roster for that Buffalo team, and it's like, how? They all went to Buffalo?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think some of that...
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. The Buffalo roster, I'm telling you, Blue Collar U is the one to watch for here. However, NG Saints, which is... going to be playing Blue Collar U in the first round game, features Scoop Jardine and Rick Jackson.
I forgot that is.
Oh yeah, the Newman Gretti team as well. I forgot they had a Newman Gretti team.
Yeah. So gonna be straight up. If you would like a nostalgia trip, this year's tournament is in Syracuse and seems very much primed for you to do so. If you went to Syracuse, St. Bonaventure, or Buffalo, so you should check it out.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
As per usual with this tournament, we will not be doing any previews because we don't really know any of these teams, and this team is basically like roll the dice and see what happens, and that's kind of fun. We will do our best to try to reach out to some of our friends, James Zuba or Kevin Belby, and try to get them on here to kind of talk about TBT a little bit more in detail once we get closer to the tournament actually taking place. The Syracuse bracket is slated to take place between July 22nd and July 25th. I will be in Greece when that happens, so...
So you're saying that's when we should be having them on to talk about it. All right, we've already set up our future schedule. Perfect.
There you go. Winner of the Syracuse region will play the winner of the New Mexico regional. That is neat. I just did not expect New Mexico to be a regional to pop up here, but here we are.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at the Rucker Park regional because there's some stacked teams in that Rucker Park regional.
Yeah, all the regionals, for those who might not know, we've got West Virginia, Dayton, Syracuse, New Mexico, Rucker Park, Xavier, Wichita, and Omaha. So this is really like, all credit where credit's due. This has become a crazy national tournament, tapping into some hyper intense college basketball markets. Which is kind of weird.
Friday Beers has a center named Rusty Featherstone.
Oh, yes.
From Rollins College, who in his mugshot for the show or the website has a corduroy hat on with a rainbow that says, "Birds ain't real." You wonder why this is my second favorite team now. This is now officially, there's no way this is not my second favorite team now.
Are you sure he's a center when his height is listed at 5'11"?
That's what it's listed as. I don't know.
I mean, if there was ever a Friday Beer League player, that is a Friday Beer League player.
Yeah, I'd put money on him being one of the, the donors or something, and they have it listed wrong, but that just was too perfect to pass up.
Man, I'm sorry. Birds ain't real. It's just gonna... I don't know what's the intent behind that. Is that something? Is that a youth reference that I don't get? Christian, is that a TikTok thing? Do I not know TikTok?
I don't know TikTok either. You're asking the wrong guy.
Oh, damn it. We don't have a young enough podcast host for this.
We're going to have to call Michael.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to call Michael. Michael, explain the TikToks. Which also, I saw a thing going around on LinkedIn that was a social media job asking for 5 to 7 years of TikTok experience. TikTok, it has not been around for 5 years. It was previously an app called Musical.ly, which got rebranded into TikTok 5 years ago. So, you know, just TikTok is not that old, which is good for me because it makes me realize that it truly is a young person thing.
So when I clicked on Mr. Featherstone, Friday Beers legend and TikTok sensation Rusty Featherstone joins Friday Beers roster for TBT 2022.
So, he is a TikTok.
You cannot make this up. Oh, God. Here we are.
He's a TikTok. He's a TikTok. They're the TikTok team.
In other news, I searched up Birds Ain't Real on Google. And this website was the first thing that popped up. I just posted in our Slack.
Ah, boy. Here we go. We're down the rabbit hole, folks. We are officially down the rabbit hole.
Wait. Oh my gosh. This is like, wow. I thought that this was going to actually be... Okay, nope, never mind. I thought this was going to be something serious. Well, actually, let me rephrase. It is serious, but I can't tell if this is like Church of Flying Spaghetti Monster, where it's an elaborate satire of the institution, or if it's like the people who now believe in the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and it's a joke that has gone way too far and become real.
I think it's the former. I think it's the former.
I really hope so. If so, well done.
This is why we can't have nice things, folks.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, I love everything about this podcast. This is the true chaos energy that we need for a off-season pod.
This is absolutely what happens when Tampa is winning.
Oh?
Stamkos.
I mean, listen, I did not expect this Stanley Cup to go 7 games, but yes, please. I will take that.
We're at the end of June, and there's still hockey happening. What?
Not as weird as when the NBA Finals were in the middle of July last year.
Yeah. In the immortal words of Louis Van Gaal, what is this world twisted?
To end it as we always do on Soccer Talk, what is this world twisted that Manchester City signed Calvin Phillips as a backup?
The same one where Arsenal signed... Man City's backup striker to be their primary striker. So yeah, you know, I'm not in love with it, but in Arteta we trust.
At least you guys made a signing.
Yeah, I was gonna
Steve and I, our clubs haven't made a signing.
I mean, mine's not allowed to. So yours at least could.
That's the more distressing part.
Yeah. Yeah. Soccer. Here we are again. That usually means it's about time to wrap this puppy up if we end up going into soccer talk.
Sorry, I just flipped on the Birds Ain't Real thing, and you're going to have to pull me out of here.
Oh, boy.
This is my life now. Thanks again for listening to Troy News is an Absolute podcast. Rate us, review us, subscribe. Wherever you listen to this, we really appreciate it. It helps us trick the algorithm into expanding the Ottoman Empire. Thank you to our sponsor, Home Field Apparel, who, as always, use promo code NOONS, N-U-N-E-S, to get 10% off your first order of cozy collegiate apparel. Thank you to all those who are listening, reading, watching this on newsmagician.com. We appreciate you coming to the site, especially in the off-season. And we will continue to deliver this level of chaos each and every week that we do a podcast during the summer. So for Christian, for Steve, for everyone out there, including our retired in peace former podcast host, John Casillo, thank you for listening and go Orange.
Apologies to Andy's wife. Your husband is now a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, boy. Go Orange.
Go Orange.